DailyThunder.com, ESPN.com. What a thrilling presser we had today. It was great to know that Sam Presti delivered a couple of kids, or his wife did, today. So we wish them congratulations on that. So a positive item from the press conference today. What else did you learn today, Royce?
I think the biggest takeaway, speaking of that, though, Mark, I mean, Presti talks a lot about efficiency. There's a lot of efficiency going on in terms of baby making in Oklahoma City right now between the Westbrooks and the Prestis. But I would say my biggest takeaway was kind of what Presti updated on Andre Roberson, in that, you know, it was kind of a read between the lines situation there. But, you know, he talked about how he's, you know, going to be available later on in training camp and non-contact stuff. He's not cleared for contact. And, he even said that they hope that they're not without Roberson for very long. So it certainly sounds like come opening night, first week of the season, Roberson may not be available to play. I think that the timetable is a little more pessimistic than kind of what I was hearing over the summer.
Yeah, it sounds like Nader and TLC are in a pretty hot competition in training camp. See which one gets the ball, or at least I hope it is those two and not Terrence Ferguson. Two words stood out to me, Royce, and those two words were elite defender with regard to Schroeder, and I think they stuck out to a whole lot of people. What did you think about that?
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is, Spinozzi, that, you know, historically speaking, and look, he's a young player, and he's only 24 years old. You know, I thought Presti kind of put it in interesting perspective to say that he's younger than Steven Adams. But, you know, so he is young, but he has not been a good defender for the Atlanta Hawks. And that has always kind of been seen as one of the areas that he could be a detriment to your team. He's a fantastic creator, really great scorer. He gets downhill. He does a lot of things for your team. But, you know, you look at him as a defender, and, you know, to me, you look at a guy that really it's just kind of about technique and commitment, because he checks a lot of boxes when it comes to what you would want in a defensive point guard. He's athletic, he's very long, he's broad shoulders, big hands, and so it's kind of just about, like, you know, do you want to be a good defender or not? And I think that that's what Presti was kind of trying to get at, is that, you know, the tools are in the toolbox there for Dennis Schroeder. It's just a matter of, can he kind of bring it out, and can the Thunder bring it out of him to get that level of commitment?
I had a problem, you know, when I was in school growing up in Blackwell sometimes, is that my attention span would kind of drift a little bit. And so they started to talk about playing fast, and then Sam Presti started to talk about playing faster on defense. And about that time, I went off into Candyland or someplace else. So can you update me on what he meant about playing faster defensively?
I may or may not have been scrolling Instagram when he was talking about that.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't just me. Good, I feel better about myself now.
I mean, I think he was trying to, you know, he was trying to put forth the idea that, you know, and kind of reduce some of the expectation, I think, Mark, that this is Thunder going to be this fast-breaking team like the 1960 Celtics or something, and that it's going to be, you know, rebound and outlet, and they're going to just run the floor constantly, and they're going to be like, you know, Billy Tubbs Sooners or something, and, you know, scoring 140 points a game because they're just running the floor like crazy. I think Presti was trying to kind of peel back a little bit of that expectation. You know, from what I've heard from them is that they do want to play with tempo and speed, but they see that to kind of manifest itself in a number of different ways. That's getting into your sets faster. That's playing with a lot more kind of commitment to what you're doing, and assertiveness and those sort of things. Playing faster on defense, I mean, I don't know if that means being more aggressive, trying to, you know, attack the ball more. I don't really know what that means. I don't know how to kind of dig into that one, but I think what Presti was really just trying to get at is that he just didn't want everybody to think that this is going to be some up-and-down, run-the-floor type of team.
I just took that as we don't have Carmelo being an anchor on either ends of the floor anymore.
So there you go. I think you guys both very good points there.
So moving forward. Hey, Jim likes to make a point, and I know from his personal experience, about guys who were drafted high in Major League Baseball, the bonus baby guys, are given more chances. They're given a better opportunity to win jobs and things like that. Terrence Ferguson being taken in the first round, I'm going to tell you, I mean, he's a guy who will show you a flash. I mean, a spectacular dunk, a block, and all those kind of things. But then I thought he had a golden opportunity to get a lot better and go out to the desert in the rookie league and just dominate a bunch of guys who've never played in the NBA. And I thought he threw up all over himself. He showed me absolutely, and I mean nothing, that he improved. If he comes into training camp, do you think the Thunder are going to be stubborn with him, or they're going to give a really legitimate chance to TLC and Nader to come in here and solidify that spot until Andre Robertson can return?
I think it's a good question. And, look, I think that they are certainly – open-minded with all these guys, and that's part of the reason I think Spinoza that they brought in so many of these wing players is that they're kind of trying to throw mud at the wall and hope something sticks a little bit. Maybe they can kind of identify, you know, that elusive two-way guy that they've been after for so many years to come in and play significant minutes in the rotation. I do think that they are very committed to Terrence Ferguson, and you know, look, it's a lot of players blossom in year two. Sometimes it's year three. Sometimes it's year four. It can take guys a little bit of time. I mean, that's the reason that they have a most improved award. I am complete agreement with you, though. He was very disappointing in summer league, and there was a lot more expectation for him to kind of settle in. You know, I think the Thunder were trying to ask him to do a few extra things that maybe was outside of his comfort zone in terms of handling the ball, putting the ball on the floor, because, you know, I don't think that they view him as a guy to play the role that he did in limited minutes in last season as a rookie, where it was basically he kind of just stood in the corner, and when the ball hit his hands, he fired it up. And, you know, he hit some big shots at times, and I think that they saw some potential as a defender if he can fill out, but he's got good instincts and good feet and plays with a lot of energy, and he has a good motor. So there's some things there for Terrence Ferguson, and I know that Billy Donovan really likes him. Like, he sees him as a competitor. I know Westbrook likes him. So I think that they're pretty committed to him. But I would say this, that, you know, if Presti talked today openly, that he said that one of the things that they want to see from this team is that they feel like it needs more shooting, and he doesn't know if that comes from internally guys improving themselves or just simply making more shots. Or maybe they got a roster build in another way. And if you're looking at options to do that, you know, one of the pieces that you could use to maybe improve yourself is Terrence Ferguson.
Okay, he's 20. So I think you have to give him the benefit of the doubt, and
sure,
you have to put him out there or he's not going to develop. But I think one of the biggest challenges for newcomers to the Thunder, or especially rookies on the Thunder, is learning how to play with Russell Westbrook.
Absolutely.
I doubt anybody's ever played with a guy like him wherever they've been, whether it's high school, college. I mean, clearly Ferguson's been the best player that he ever on any team he ever was on before he went to Australia to sit on the bench for an entire year. But so that's got to be tough for him. I think that, you know, it'd have to be intimidating to take shots with Russell Westbrook out there, as demanding as he is on the floor, as intense as he is. But that's what they have to do. So I think that makes it all a whole lot tougher to develop, I think, as a player. So I think the Thunder have to be patient with him, or they're not going to have development from these guys. And that's been a problem the last couple seasons, is they just haven't had some steady improvement like we've seen in other teams like Boston, where guys kind of play within a system, and that allows them to get more comfortable and get better.
It's a great point, Mark. And, you know, you look at just, like, simple things where, you know, Westbrook gets downhill, he gets to the rim, and, you know, it's kind of, you try to get in your shooting stance and you're trying to be ready for the ball, but that ball might come flying at your face, you know, or really it might come flying at your knees or your ankles from Westbrook, and you got to be ready for it. And quite frankly, I think that's one of the reasons that Billy Donovan likes Terrence Ferguson, is because it takes kind of certain type of players mentally that are not afraid. And some guys can kind of, I mean, I don't know if a lot of players are necessarily intimidated by Westbrook, but they might just be a little bit timid, and they might overthink, and they might kind of wonder, like, am I getting in his way? Should I step out here? And a lot of guys have a hard time playing on feel and instinct around a guy like Westbrook, and the guys that know how to do it can excel alongside Westbrook. And I think that Donovan sees Ferguson as the type of player that has the mental makeup to maybe play minutes alongside Westbrook. Now, back to like what Spinoza said, there's going to have to be some developmental aspects to this for him to actually pull that out. And again, back to Robertson, and what do they do at shooting guard if Robertson misses the first 2 weeks of the season or whatever it is? Is Terrence Ferguson ready to take that significant of a step to play minutes at shooting guard? Because when they tried Ferguson at shooting guard last year in that starting spot, what did he go, like, four games without scoring? I think he might have went three games without a shot. So
right. Yeah.
So it might be an open audition, I think, when it comes to training camp.
Yeah, speaking of open auditions, let me give you a list of guys right now. Hamidou Diallo, Deontay Burton, Devin Hall, Kevin Herbie, all those guys, of course, new additions. of them, the one guy, you just used the expression, not afraid. There's one guy, when I watched the Summer League, who was clearly not afraid to be on the floor with anybody, and that was Deonte Burton.
Yeah.
Are any of those guys, I mean, because there have been some guys who I'm just going to call them flat-out scrubs who have gotten way too many minutes on this Thunder basketball team the last 3 years, most of them no longer here. A guy like Deonte Burton, just, I mean, a fearless, I mean, just a wrecking ball of a basketball player. Does anybody like that have a legitimate chance to go to training camp and open some eyes and get on the back end of that roster and stay with the team?
I think Burton's a great candidate for it, and you know, I think he kind of nudged his way into where he's at right now. Spinoza, you know, he ended up with the two-way contract, which, you know, puts you in that kind of limited space where you can practice with the team and you're with them, but you can only spend so many days with them. And you know, the Thunder had a couple guys in that position last year, Daniel Hamilton and PJ Dozier, and they didn't really utilize them at all. A lot of other teams utilized their two-way guys, and they even had two-way guys that turned into permanent roster guys because they hit on them. And just me personally, again, we're talking about Summer League here and kind of a, you know, limited sense. We all watched Deonte Burton play at Iowa State. He's in Big 12 country, so we've seen him play a little bit. But when I watched him at Summer League, I just thought to myself over and over again, that's an NBA player.
Like, he's an adult.
That guy, I don't really know what his position is, and I think that might be what kind of hurts him. You know, in college, he was kind of this weird stretch four at like 6'5". He was kind of in this weird spot. But in the NBA, he's, I think, more clearly a shooting guard. Maybe a little small forward, and you know, it's kind of hard to label him, and I think that's what's going to be what holds him back. But I look at him and I say, that guy can play in the NBA, and you know, if the Thunder are willing to invest a little bit there and maybe try to figure out a way to get him on the floor, they could have something, I think.
Poor man's Mark Aguirre.
Is that what
kind
you
of
think?
A post game, stretch game, could do a little bit,
really
a little
shoot.
Bit of everything there. Very poor
Barkley.
What are you on, Team Thibodeau, Butler, or Team Cat and Wiggins?
Man, that's
what's going to happen there?
I mean, it's such an awkward situation, Mark, just because if you just rewind to last year, and there's a lot of big personalities involved in this, but look, if Jimmy Butler doesn't get hurt at the end of last year, the Wolves are winning 52, 53 games. They're probably the 3 seed, and they go into the playoffs maybe as a team that you could say, hey, they could win a series or two and get to the conference final. And in all honesty, if all those things had happened, they still would probably be facing these issues because Jimmy Butler is a very distinct personality. He is very self-assured, and he knows what he wants, and he goes after it. And the Wolves are kind of caught in two different worlds here where they've tried to build through the draft and through young players with Wiggins and Towns. They let go of LaVine to get Butler. And they're sort of in that, like, they want to be good. I mean, they still want to be good. They want to play in the playoffs. That's what Tom Thibodeau wants to coach, is a playoff team. But you also can't try to set yourself back. Look, Karl Anthony Towns is that franchise. He is the franchise player, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's the next day or the next day. He's about to get a mega max extension from the Wolves, and they're about to officially make him their franchise player. And I think Jimmy Butler and the... If I could move Andrew Wiggins, and that would be like the Band-Aid on this, that's what I would try to do. I would want to move Andrew Wiggins.
They paid him too much.
Did I lose you guys?
No, we still got you.
Just for a second. Yeah, okay. No, I think they paid him too much.
I think I'd move Wiggins and try to keep Butler if I could, but I don't know if that's just a Band-Aid.
Huge win for Southwest Covenant last week. I mean, a kid went up there and beat up his dad into smithereens.
I know. How about that? I think they're 3-0 now. Here they go. What a powerhouse. What a program.
So they're a championship contender. When's it going to be Royce Young night there?
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get honored anytime soon.
Okay.
They got a new contract. They need to have a Dan Bailey night. Yeah.
But they need to have a Dan Bailey night, but they need to have a Royce Young night, too. Guess who they play tonight? They play Blue Jacket. That's Traber's favorite team. You need to have a wager with Jim.
Okay. They had to move the game. I think it was because so much rain is expected. They moved it up to tonight, didn't they? First home game, I think, for the Patriots. I think I may go.
Yeah, Blue Jacket's bus had to stop 3 times to gas up to get down here. So, Royce, thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See y'all.